What a privilege it was last week to be able to spend a week in Brown County. Pam and I had the campground to ourselves, and I think that it was just you guys praying for us. We had beautiful weather. Now, on Saturday before going to Brown County, I had almost changed our plans because I looked at my weather app and it said rain Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Well, I don't know if you've ever camped at a horseman's camp with horses and it rains all week, but don't do it. It's always bad when it rains when you're camping, but when you have horses with you, they're aggravated. You know, they're just aggravated all week, and you don't feel like riding because it's wet and sloppy and rainy, and so they're tired all the time, and so they're in a horrible mood, giving you dirty looks and spitting their oats at you and all kinds of stuff. It's not a very pleasant experience. But on Saturday, I felt like the Lord said, you guys need to get away. Just go. Just go. Well, I don't know how many people told us they'd be praying for us. We had gorgeous weather. It was beautiful Monday, beautiful Tuesday, beautiful Wednesday, beautiful Thursday. Got a tiny shower Thursday evening after we were done with everything and sat and kind of watched it rain under the awning. It was fun. And then a tiny little bit of rain on Friday when we wanted to go to Nashville, Indiana and look around anyway. And a little bit on Sunday, but we had an absolutely beautiful week. And Monday and Tuesday, well, Monday I was kind of unwinding. I think Pam was kind of unwinding. You get there and you get unpacked. But Tuesday I just felt incredibly close to God. And of course, had gone down there to be with Pam, just be alone. We had the campground to ourselves. On the weekend, people came in, but for the first 4 days, we had the campground almost completely to ourselves. So it was awesome. I don't know if you've ever been to the Horseman's Camp. A couple of you have. I know Mike and Marilyn have gone down with us. I think Mark and Cindy went years ago. They're gone this morning, but the Horseman's Camp down there is just awesome. If you like horses, it makes you think you're living in the Old West or something, and you get to play cowboys and Indians for a week. It's just really fun. And the trails in Brown County are incredible to ride in the trails. We've been lots of places. We've camped in Tennessee with horses. We've been in Colorado. We've been lots of places, but it's hard to beat Brown County State Park as far as riding horses. It's a beautiful place to ride. And Tuesday, I just felt really close to the Lord. I always start my day with a prayer walk. Pam likes to pray in the camper, and so that works out well because then I'll walk. And the campground is, nobody's up very early, and so right after daylight or sometimes before daylight, I walk. And just felt incredibly close to God on Tuesday. On Wednesday, my horse, Cody, who's now 20, that I call him my colt, but he's 20. Can you believe that? I cannot believe how fast time goes. My colt is 20. I talk to him. I say, what's happened to us, Cody? He's getting arthritis, and I'm like him. But my horse was having a little problem with a sore they're shedding right now, and the saddle cinch had rubbed a little sore, so I decided to ride bareback on Wednesday. And I'm going to brag a little bit. You can do that with friends, can you, just a little? I'm pretty good with a horse. Mike, would you agree with that? I always pick on Mike because he and I ride together some. I'm pretty decent with a horse. Trained a lot of horses, broke horses for other people. That sounds a little cocky and a little arrogant. I'm going somewhere with this. But I'm pretty good with a horse. And can I brag a little bit more? I don't know too many guys 63 years old that can run on a horse bareback. Now, when I was a kid, we couldn't afford a saddle, so I learned to ride as a child, and I would learn to use my legs and pinch the horse like Indians did. And if he climbed a hill, you try to get your legs around the front of his chest and hook this way so you can hang onto the mane and go up a hill, and then you go down the hill. And I actually learned you feel the horse more bareback. And like I said, I don't mean to be being bragging, but I am a little bit. I, for 63 years old, I ride a horse pretty well. And so we were riding, and of course, there were people that come in for day camp. There weren't that many actually camping, but people come in for day camp to ride through the day. So there's people coming and going all the time. And I was actually feeling pretty cocky about this because Kathy's thinking, oh no, why aren't you in a cast? You gotta have a little fun. Vacation stories are fun. And So Pam was pretty impressed too. We hadn't ridden together for a while, and we went on a pretty difficult trail. And she says, "You want to run on the horse?" I said, "Sure." So I break Cody into a trot. Now, few people can bareback and trot on a quarter horse, but I can, and I can do it well. And then we broke into a canter, which is some of you older people, that's galloping, but canter's the newer name. That's when the horse, you know, actually gets into, and then after a canter is a dead run where the horse actually drops a little bit. When you get a horse running that hard, he actually drops and stretches, he's really running. Well, I can run on a horse bareback, and I can, and I didn't press the daylights out of you. Okay, I'm going somewhere with this. So I'm kind of feeling my oats. Does that fit with the, I guess the horse would feel his oats. But I was kind of feeling my oats, and of course it didn't hurt any that people are like, "Man, you are good with a horse." You know, they pass you, and you say, "Look at that guy, climb a hill with a horse." You know, and I'm thinking, "That's me, that's me." I don't know if any of you have seen the man from Snowy River. I'm not the man from Snowy River, but I could give him a run, I think, maybe. And the hills in Brown County are something, and if you've ever ridden Trail B, Mike, do you remember B that goes up the steep hill? I rode up that bareback on Cody. So, you know, it's pretty impressive. I'm having fun. Thursday, God seemed kind of far away. Daggone it. Thursday morning, I got up and I wanted to have my prayer walk. And it just seemed like God wasn't as close. Honestly, I'm laughing and having fun, but it just really did. It just, you know, I didn't feel like he had abandoned me or left me. But there's a sweetness when God's real close. You with me? There's a sweetness when God's extra close. And Thursday, I just didn't feel that way. And I'm like, "Lord, what's the matter? You know, what's the matter? It doesn't seem like yesterday I just felt real close to you, and today, or Tuesday, I felt so close to you, and Wednesday morning I felt real close to you, and you seem kind of far away." And just as clear as anything, the Lord said to me, Well, you got a prideful spirit yesterday." Yeah, that's what he said. He said, "You got a prideful spirit yesterday, and that's hindering you." I thought, yeah, I kind of did. Now, lest you think we're childish, I don't think that you fall from salvation if you get a little caught up at 63 that you're still strong enough to ride a horse and canter bareback and someone brags on you. There's nothing wrong with getting a little affirmation of, "Thanks, that's cool, I can do that." Nothing wrong with that. And you know I love to have fun and I like to cut up. But there's always something at the core of it. What this did is brought me to a message I need to give you today about staying in a place in God where you're hearing him and picking up on the slightest whisper. And you can lose that real quick. We're not talking about losing our salvation. We're not talking about, you know, we're destined now, you know, we're hanging over hell by a cord. And God, you know, we've heard evangelists preach that of the past. You know, I don't say that sarcastically. But, you know, when I was a kid, I was scared half to death all the time because you'd go to these tent meetings, and I'm not referring to my father. My father was very strong in the love of God. But he'd be in a circuit with five or six evangelists, and they'd trade off, and they'd all dip, preach and take turns. And sometimes they'd have three services a day. And some of these guys would preach, you know, hellfire and brimstone, and you thought, "Man, you're hanging over hell with the cord. You better not mess up one time, because if you do, they're going to chop the cord and down you go." And you kind of got the wrong misrepresentation. I don't think it was done on purpose, but I think many times God was misrepresented. The prodigal son story wasn't told in the true context. So I don't want you to think for a minute from my story that, well, Pastor Tom, he got a little bit boyish while riding a horse and having fun on vacation. You need to have fun on vacation. You need to loosen up. And it doesn't hurt to show off a little. I like to crank that Harley just once in a while. In fact, is Don Day here? No, he isn't. I was going to ask you, my bike sounded good. When I left the other day, man, I nailed that rascal. And I kind of looked back to see if he was looking, and it looked like he was grinning. I mean, I nailed it. I got a bad to the bone sounding bike, and I just nailed that thing. There's nothing wrong with letting off a little steam and having fun. But I'm telling you that cute story to talk to you about something that God said to me that I don't want to forget. He said, you're not as close today, and it's because you got a prideful spirit. Now, I'm mature enough that I didn't, oh, I'm going to quit now. How can I, after 45 years, be so stupid? No, he wasn't that shook about the horse deal, but what he wanted me to do is see a spiritual truth. Are you with me? There is a place, listen carefully, there is a place in God, a secret place. Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place. Andy, he wants you to stay there. He that dwelleth. Interesting that Psalms 91, David said, he that dwelleth in the secret place. He wants you to stay there because you can come out of that place of grace. I'm not talking about coming out of salvation. I'm talking about that place where God's grace is flowing through you. Have you had a day where God's grace is flowing through you? Man, you stop in it at Miramar and you had an opportunity to smile and be kind to somebody, and you got up the road and went into Walmart, and man, things just fell right. You had a day, it's just the juices are flowing and things are going good, and you feel at the end of the day, man, I walked with the Lord closely today. But then the enemy sees that and he wants you to take you out of that place, and he'll bring hardships and difficulties, and sometimes he'll try to just smash you. We have a family among us this morning that the devil's trying to smash. They're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful parents. And the devil's trying to smash them. Devil wants to take you out of that place of grace. He wants you to fall from that spot. Why? Because he knows that if you're keen to the gentle breezes of the Holy Spirit, who knows what might be accomplished that day, George? Who knows what might be accomplished that day if I'm keen to the gentle breezes of the Holy Spirit. So if he can get me caught up in what I'm doing and in the flesh. Now, was there anything wrong with me enjoying my horse? Heavens, no, I was on vacation. You're supposed to have fun on vacation. Was there anything wrong with getting a kick out of the fact that Pam was admiring how well I could ride, and a couple other riders noticed that this guy is good on a horse. This guy is really good on a horse. They didn't know that Cody is like a Walmart horse. Put a quarter in him, he does just what you want him to do. So I'm not so immature here as to think that the God of the universe is falling off the throne because I got a little cocky riding my horse. No, but the principle is here, and there's something for us here. There are things that take us out of the grace of God. There are things that God would want to use the gentle breezes of that day to direct you and guide you and lead you in a way, in a very keen way, he would want to direct you that day in some very specific details he wants to lead you. But if he can get me prideful in spirit and caught up with myself and in the flesh, I fall from that special place. Does that make sense? Now, I think if I were to ask a show of hands, and I won't, everybody here would plead guilty to that charge. We've seen it. I can see you nodding. We see that in ourselves. Something comes along that throws us. But you see, the enemy, he's a mastermind. He's a deceiver, and he's constantly trying to create scenarios to throw you out of the graciousness of God. He doesn't want you to be the hands and feet of the Lord. He doesn't want the Holy Spirit to be working through you in a marvelous way, and so he tries to take you out of grace. And honestly, as sure as I stand here, when I said to the Lord, I was so close to you on Tuesday and Wednesday morning in my prayer walk, I felt like you were just right over my shoulder. What happened? And the Lord said, you got in the flesh and you got prideful. And you pulled yourself away. He didn't pull away. I pulled myself away from receiving that grace that I need. I want to stay there. I often pray, Lord, humble me regularly when I need it. That's a prayer the Lord's heard from me a lot of times. Humble me regularly when I need it. We can be in a place of grace in the morning devotions in our house, and we can have read a devotional and we're moved and we're stirred and we're thinking back in a song we're humming in our mind that we heard Sunday, and it's ministering to us, and a trouble can come between me and our spouse, and pretty soon we're spouting off some things we shouldn't say, and we develop a prideful spirit or a stubborn spirit, and we fall from that place. We didn't lose our salvation. We didn't lose our place with God, but we fall from that place where God would like to keep using us. I want to learn how to habitually stay there, Larry. I want to learn how to stay there all the time, because God will use us every minute of the day. He will. if we'll stay there. He'll use us every minute of the day. That's where I want to be. That's who I want to be. Keep going for the prize. It's worth it. Some of you, I think of this, Mandy looking at you. Allie looking at you, I think of this. Some of you work with the general public all day. That's hard. I worked for Kroger's for 17 years and waited on the public, and you just want to strangle them sometimes. You know, people are so demanding, and they're so self-centered, and they want everything right now and yesterday. But I found that was incredible training ground. If you were to ask me what was my seminary, yes, I took some seminary training from NIAC University in New York. I didn't go there physically because we were already married and had children, but they allowed me to do it through correspondence. Yes, I had some training. That wasn't my seminary. My seminary was the 17 years at Kroger's, hearing on Sunday what the Word says, and then going in on Monday and trying to put that on and wear it. And try to fulfill that, what the Scripture says I should be, to put on kindness and to try to keep unity and to keep peace and try to wear that. God's incredibly patient. Keep after the prize. Stay after it. Stay after it. You'll grow tremendously in your life. I do want to just talk about pride for a minute, since I got caught up in horse show-off pride. I want to, in feeling my oats, I do want to say something about pride because I think it applies to all of us. This is an interesting verse. Pride comes before a fall. And I'm going to come back to my main theme, but I do want to say something about pride because I felt like God spoke to me and said, you were developing a fleshly proud spirit and you hindered. And like I said, I don't think God was upset at me or punishing me. And heaven's sakes, I was on vacation. He's our Father. He gives us leeway. But I do think he was using the horseback riding to show me something that I need to be careful of. If I'm leading you and I develop a prideful spirit, I won't be directed of God like I need to be. He was alerting me to things that I need to see, and I want to be open to that. Pride comes before a fall. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." If we stay in a prideful spirit, if we don't see those things, and God even point out the little tiny things that seem as insignificant as having fun on your horse, we can develop a prideful mindset. And I think pride takes so many ministries down. I guess one of the things I scout for as we grow as a ministry and the arms of the ministry, because it isn't just about who attends on Sunday morning. This ministry is growing in a lot of directions. And I want those directions to be the right ones. But one thing I'm scouting for all the time is, Lord, keep out a prideful spirit. Keep out a prideful spirit, because pride does come before a fall. I remember, and please don't be offended if you're a big basketball fan, but I remember years ago when Bobby Knight was so popular, and personally I thought Bobby Knight was a genius as a coach, but how he presented himself was real interesting. And I remember making the statement to Pam when he was getting so much attention and tearing up the traffic tickets Bloomington, that's right. Okay, he was tearing up the traffic tickets, and he said, I don't want to pay a traffic ticket. You know, he's tearing up the traffic tickets. And I said to Pam, I said, he's going to fall. I felt it in my spirit. She said, why do you say that? I said, he's gotten to a level of pride that he's going to fall. It wasn't long after that happened. We had a local coach here, I won't mention my name, that made love making fun of all the ministers. Tim Deardorff called me. Tim wouldn't mind me sharing this. Tim Deardorff called me when I pastored Chapel Hill, and he was pastoring the Big Brethren Church here in Mexico. He called me and said, we need to do something. He said, you and I, this ain't big. He said, we pastor the two largest churches in Miami County right now, which was the case, indeed about size. But he said, what he was trying to say is, I think we have enough influence in the public that let's you and I go together and let's do something about this. I said, let's pray about it a few times. Let's pray it. We got together and talked about it and prayed about it, and I agreed with him. This particular coach at one of the schools was constantly making fun of the ministers in class and making fun of the Christian kids and slamming, and was very specifically slamming Tim and I. And I felt like God spoke to me and said, let me fight your battles for you. And Tim and I made an agreement, and I encouraged Tim to, let's just take this to the Lord and say, Lord, you defend us. We're not going to go up the school board and make a big fuss. That can be pride. You know, you're talking about me. Well, Jesus said he's going to, you know. I mean, that goes with the territory. But, you know, you can put on your boxing gloves all the time, you know, and sometimes people, you live by the sword, you perish by the sword, you know. That doesn't mean you shouldn't protect yourself at times. You have to do that. You have to do that. But after meeting with Tim a few times, and Tim could have easily corrected me. We were good friends. But in this particular case, I said to Tim, I don't think we should go to school board. I just feel checked inside. I feel like we just need to let this go. I feel like God has assured me he's going to take care of it. He knows how to shut people up. Have you ever prayed that? Lord, shut them up. I've had times when criticism got pretty heavy, and I've actually prayed that. Lord, quiet them. Quiet them. God can do it. He can do it. Quiet him. Now, you can't do that with a vindictive attitude, slap him upside the head and I want to, you do it for me. That's not the appropriate thing. But David said, you're my defender. Your love defends me. We just sang. And it wasn't long after that coach got taken out. And I remember Tim called me, and it was neat. He called me and he said, Tom, I'm glad we made that decision. I think we did the right thing. We could have made a big fuss in the county and hadn't been on the front page of the paper and on it went, you know, minister and the coaches are into it, rah, 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 and, you know, make a big stir. But God has a way of taking care of things. Pride comes before a fall. I don't want to be in a prideful spirit. Back on track. Don't fall from the place of grace, that special secret place where you hear God, where you feel the gentle breeze of his spirit moving. You're gently led by him. My favorite verse, at least one of my favorites, John 3:17 is certainly a favorite, but John 3:8, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof. You know not whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. The wind of the Spirit. I want to be in a place where I pick that up. Keep yourself in that secret place. Let me go back to Psalms 91 that I referred to a moment ago. He that dwelleth in the secret place. Psalms 91, 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I don't know how well you know Psalms 91, but if you want to memorize a psalm, that's the one to memorize. Psalms 91 is a powerful, powerful psalm. It talks about all the things that God will do in your life. And I hadn't planned to read any of that, but I'm going to read just a little bit of it. Psalms 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Here's the benefits. Here's the benefits of staying in that special place. I will say of the Lord, he'll be your refuge and your fortress, my God in whom I'll trust. He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And who might that be? Satan constantly puts a snare out. He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He'll cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You won't be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh at darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Can I say something about that line? God gave me that in the middle of my chemo. When I went into my second set of chemo treatments, I was really nervous about it because it was taking a toll. And they said it's the strongest chemo they give, and they're going to have to do neurological tests to see if it's affecting my brains. I was really nervous about this. It's destructive. It's to burn up stuff and kill stuff. There's crossbones on the bag. Yes, there's crossbones on the bag. The nurses, chemo nurses, come in, administer it to you, and wear gloves and a gown and a mask, and they can't touch it, and it's going in your veins, in your heart. Had a port right here, and it's going directly into your heart. I was real nervous about the second set of chemo treatments, and I said, what time are the treatments tomorrow? I want to be in prayer. And they said, it'll be at noon tomorrow, and God gave me that verse early in the morning. Don't fear the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Ain't that cool? He gave me that verse powerfully that morning. Don't fear the destruction that wasteth at noonday. You agreed to take this. You want to know how others feel. I felt God had healed me. Some thought I was crazy that I went ahead with the chemo, but I felt God instructed me to do that because I needed to feel like others feel and know and be able to connect with them. But he gave me, look how faithful he is. He gave me the faithful promise. Am I something special? No. Where does that come from? From the first verse of this chapter, dwelling in the secret place. I don't want to fall from that. I don't want to get caught up in the things of life and fall from that spot where God is flowing grace through me, where God is flowing his mercy through me, where he's flowing his compassion through me, where I'm his hands and feet. We're ambassadors for Christ. Does that sound familiar? We've been talking about that a lot lately. And in our teachings, various Bible studies, I know that's been coming out. Ambassadors for Christ. I want to be that. I don't want to fall from that place. And when I said to the Lord, Lord, why do I not feel the same? I felt so close to you. I felt almost like you were right here by my right shoulder. And the Lord said, you became fleshly and got caught up in the pride of the moment. Ah, okay, it is that important. Oh, it is that important. Okay, I want to stay there. I want to dwell in that spot. That's where I want to be. And you know what's neat? God doesn't say, all right, now we're going to give you a 30-day trial run here, and you sure messed up that time, and we'll see in 31 days how you're doing. No. The minute I realized that I had gotten in the flesh and developed a prideful spirit, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'll never ride bareback again if you don't want me to. He's not worried about that, but I'm trying to illustrate something here to you, and that's what he was doing with me. He's got more to worry about than that. But I'm trying to illustrate to you that he talks to you from little things in life. And I said, Lord, I'll never ride a horse again. What was I saying? I was saying he was the pearl of great price. That's what I was saying. I said, as much as I like horses, I'll never ride a horse again if it affects my relationship with you. It ain't about being the preacher. It ain't about God doing something special because it's me. It's about if you'll do that and say, Lord, I'm going to dwell in your secret place, and I don't care what it means giving up. I'm going to stay in that place. God will use you miraculously in life, and you'll find you are the hands and feet of the Lord, and you'll find that he'll use you in ways that will amaze you. Don't fall from that special place of grace. Okay, we could have a long list, but these are the ones I felt God wanted me to put up here. We could have a huge list of this. What takes us out? Pride takes us out. We develop a prideful spirit. I worry about us growing as a ministry. We are growing, and I'm worried about that a little bit because we're more vulnerable when we succeed than when we fail. When we're failing miserably, we're crying out to God. But when we start succeeding, we're more vulnerable because, oh, man, look how we're doing. And that's scriptural. The Bible says, when I've given you houses and lands and possessions, beware lest your heart be lifted up with pride and you say, look what my hands have done. Pride takes us out of that special place. Anger takes us out. Joe told me that of the CDs he makes over the years, the one that's been taken the most is the sermon, Anger Takes You Out. That tells me that a lot of people struggle with anger. I am positive that there's a little demon that runs around and tries to get Pam and I in an argument on Saturday night and Sunday morning. I'm serious. We've even laughed about it. Saturday night and Sunday morning, when I got message on my mind and she's got the lessons for Promised Land and stuff on her, the devil's constantly trying to create conflict between Pam and I. And we've been alert to that. We're almost like, oh, wait a minute, we see this coming. Why? Because anger takes you out. When I become angry, when I become hostile in spirit, when I clench my jaw, and it happens to all of us, we're emotionally made. We're beautifully, wonderfully made, the Bible says. But anger takes us out when we become angry. And we have a society that breeds anger because we have a very stressful world. Listen, God did not intend for human beings to be in the rat race they're in. Are you with me? Daddy used to say, if the Creator who knew who we were put us in a quiet garden, Garden of Eden, not an asphalt jungle, not the middle of I-69. He created man and woman and put them in a garden with beautiful trees and flowers and birds singing. We're a long ways from that, folks. That's why you got to find a way to get peace in your life somehow, and God will help you do that. There's grace to do the right thing. Our lives are hectic. Some of you in the family raising years, you really got the pressures on you because you're supposed to be 20 places at once. And society's making you think you're this bad parent if you don't volunteer for everything. You can't do everything under the sun. You got to organize your life. You got to ask God for direction. But this is a generation, a culture that breeds anger. People are stressed all the time, road rage, upset, ready to kill one another. People are on edge, they're dealing with heartaches and problems, and they don't have the Savior in their life, and they're about this far from exploding. Anger takes us out. The devil knows that. Rid yourself of anger, the Bible says. And that's a topic for another day, but You know, I will say this about anger. Bible says rid yourself of anger, and I say this very reverently. There's more to it than that. I'm not suggesting that Scripture is incorrect there. No, we are to rid ourselves of anger, but we also know elsewhere, as it talks about bitterness, that there is a process involved, and you have to find the root of your anger. If you're constantly angry, there's a root. There's a root there's something that's rooted in. It can be unhappiness with yourself. It can be something you've been through in your past that you've never settled. It can be unresolved issues. It can be a lot of things, and that's a topic for another day. But what I am saying to you today as it applies to this message is that pride will take you out. You can be ever so close to the Lord and feel His warm, close presence, and very quickly, you can get in the flesh and develop a prideful spirit, and you're not in that secret place anymore. You're not in that close place. You didn't lose your salvation. God's not mad at you. But He can't flow through you like He was because you've chosen to go over here. Anger does the same thing. When I become angry, I become at my wit's end, and I become hostile. I no longer have the flow of God's Spirit. And I believe if we can look at it as a word picture, God actually does this and smiles and pulls back and says, now when you choose to come out of that, I'd like to use and work through you again, but right now I can't. No, He's not angry at you. You've done it again. That's your last chance. No, that's not the God we serve. But He's saying, no. You know, some would question, is that really true about God? Because God's been misrepresented. The reason people don't want to go to church is because God's been misrepresented. God's been misrepresented. I'm better father than that with my grandchildren. When my grandchildren make a hideous mistake or get angry or throw a fit, I don't scrap them. No. I don't scrap them. Now, I can't control how they react to me, and you can't control how your kids react to you, but you control how you feel. But there are times when I say, well, there's not much I can do with this. We had a situation not long ago in our family. I said to Pam, she said, what should we do? And I said, I don't know what to do. You know, I'll give him a hug every time I see him, but I don't really know what to do. I guess I'll just kind of wait and say, Lord, work this out. Show me if I should do something. I'll do it. I don't know what to do. Seems like anything I say is the wrong thing. Anybody ever been there? And sometimes you just have to give things to God. But I'm saying to you that the Heavenly Father isn't writing us off. We're better parents than that. We don't write our kids off. We don't write our grandkids off. The Heavenly Father is very gentle. But the fact is that I do believe that the Holy Spirit, that gentle dove, who we want with us at all times, the precious partner, I do believe there's times He says, you know, I'm going to have to go over here right now, and I'll wait for you to call me back. But I can't be part of this attitude that you're fronting right now. I can't be part of that. Anger does take you out. Lust takes you out. A lot could be said about that. Don't feel to spend much time on that. We refer to lust often. Critical spirit takes you out. Oh boy, critical spirit will take you out in a hurry. Easy to develop a critical, and the last two there, critical or complaining spirit. You ever been around somebody who just whines all the time? Oh, man. I used to work with a guy. Oh, I'd come home, Pam, and say, you're so exhausted anymore. I said, this guy is wearing me out. This guy is wearing me out. It isn't the job. I worked hard, a good work ethic, raised by German Virginia. And I had good work ethic. And everywhere I ever worked, they ever said, man, that guy gets a lot done. God just blessed me with energy, and I always was optimistic and go after it. Man, I worked with a guy, I thought, oh, I told Pam, I said, I don't know if I can take another day of this. This guy exhausts me, just complain and whine and never happy with anything. We don't want to be there. Don't dwell there. Can I use the old English? Don't dwell there. It's he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, that has the anointing, has the leading, has the gentle whisper of the Lord, the wind of the Spirit directing. And that's where we want to be. What else takes us out? And I'm not going to spend a long time on this, and I'll close. It's Memorial Weekend before too long here. I got to talk a little bit more because Kevin just got here. And he came for nothing, so I got to talk a little bit. So blame him if I talk a lot. This might seem like an odd title. Substitute comforts. Stay with me. When I'm done, you'll say, that's good. It kind of seems like a little odd after the other ones. But I think we're talking about things that take us out of that special place. I think when we turn to substitute comforts, let me read my definition here. It's okay to draw comfort from other people who are part of the body of Christ. God often works through them. It's okay to draw comfort from blessings God has provided. I draw a lot of comfort from my home. Anybody else? I draw a lot of comfort from my home. Man, I'll tell you, when I go up that long lane and up there and those oak trees and those leaves and nobody can see me on the porch, I just love it. I draw a lot of comfort from my home. That's a good thing. So it's okay to draw comfort from other people. I've heard people say, and nobody meant any harm, but I heard a discussion in a Bible study one night. I went away thinking, that's off. They said, you're not supposed to draw comfort from anybody but God. Well, but God uses other people. You know, sometimes you're down at the funeral home and God comes in and it comes in the form of a friend. So it's okay to draw comfort from other people who are part of the body of Christ. God often works through them. It's okay to draw comfort from blessings God has provided for you. I love my home. I enjoy my motorcycle. I enjoy going for a ride. I know Vince loves to go out ride in the country. And the other day I got on my bike and just had a lot on my mind. I set the cruise. It won't lock in until 30. And I set it at 31. And I rode all through Cass County out in the country. And it was just wonderful. It was just comforting. But when they become substitutes, it's an idol. When they become substitutes, it's an idol. Oh, did God come down on the children of Israel for idol worship and burn your idol groves? So God's given us all things richly to enjoy. Your boat might be comforting to you. Your fishing pole might be comforting to you. Go for it. Go for it. Talk to God. Thank him for the beautiful water. You know, that maybe I don't care to go out on the water, but I got my stuff that I like. But when they become substitutes, we leave that special place. You with me? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You'll be right there close under his shadow. If I'm in your shadow, if we're standing out here, Vince, and I'm in your shadow, I'm pretty close to you. I get lined up. And you know you got to line up right to get in a person's shadow? Now, if you're big as Kevin, it's a pretty good sized shadow. But you got to get lined up just right to get in the shadow. What God, there's a lot in that verse. He that dwelleth in that secret place of the Most High will be under the shadow of the Almighty. Man, Lord, I'm not going to substitute any comforts for you. I'm going to rid myself of anger no matter what it takes. And I got to get this worked out and get to the root of this thing. So I'm not going there. I'm not going to let myself get prideful and show off on my horse. I'm going to get lined up right here because I want in your shadow. Because you know what comes with that shadow? Oh my goodness. When you're in the shadow of the Almighty, oh my, provision, protection. He sustains you. He empowers you. He directs you. He leads you with the wind of his spirit. Don't sell out. Don't buy the cheap stuff. Go ahead. Go for the pearl of great price. We've meant well, but church hasn't represented God very well. That's why nobody wants to come. What a friend we have in Jesus. Snuggle up next to me and get in my shadow. And I'll take care of you. I'll look after you. I'll provide for you. Let me read that one more time. It's okay to draw comforts from other people who are part of the body of Christ. God often works through them. I've had people that have played tremendous roles in my life. Incredibly how God used them. It's okay to draw comfort from blessings that God has provided, but when they become substitutes, it's an idol, and we fall from that place of grace. Don't substitute anything for the precious partner, the Holy Spirit. And I felt I should put this on. God spoke to me about this week when I was in Brown County, and I felt I should put it up here. Originally, I just thought it was for me. But I thought, this is good. God gave me that. I didn't copy that out of a card somewhere. God gave me that. When I embrace my deep loneliness, did you know that because we're born in sin, that there's a loneliness within us, and it's a desire for God. It really is. And I won't go into all that, but, and two, boy, I'll just step into this and then back out of it because it's another message in itself. But there's a sense in which there's a loneliness as you're growing as a Christian. And it's a call from God. I don't mean it in a negative sense. There's a sense in which I feel like God will allow me to be lonely so that I hunger for him. Does that make sense? Because what's our tendency? To stuff it with all these other comforts. And I think sometimes I'll have new Christians. I had a young Christian, this individual's not here this morning, but I had a young Christian say to me, I've got a loneliness. I said, capitalize on it. Embrace it. Because God is pulling you to himself. Don't grab 100 other things to fill that. Does that make sense? But rather embrace that loneliness. When I embrace my deep loneliness and reach to God for comfort, I stay in victory. That's a great statement. When I embrace my deep loneliness, I was praying one morning and God just gave me that. And I put it in my phone and saved it under an album where I save special things God gave me. Incidentally, if anything ever happens to me, go through my phone. I'm sure they will. Go through my phone. Because I got some albums in there with titles that are special stuff God gave me that's secrets. But after I'm gone, you can have them. Okay. When I embrace my deep loneliness and reach to God for my comfort, I stay in victory. You know what? I think I need to quit. I got something else to say, but I think if I go into my next screen, it will muddy the water. The things I've given you are good things, and I think that I'm going to wait. I was going to go into Philippians 4:8, and whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are profitable, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things and how that our thought life often affects our emotions, which then take us out. Why do we get angry? Because our thought life isn't right. We got to learn this thing. We become a new creation in Christ. We're forgiven of our sin. We're saved and we find salvation. But then discipleship is learned. One man has said salvation is free. Discipleship is costly. As we walk with God, we learn how to think. And so I'll just leave you with maybe you could even look at Philippians 4:8 this week. I just feel checked in my spirit because it'll enter me into a new realm of things that I think may muddy the water a little bit with what I've already said. So where do we want to be? In closing, my famous line, I have to say it 3 times before I quit. Where do we want to be? We want to be in that secret place. Don't fall. Don't fall from the place of grace. Not talking about losing your salvation. Not talking about God abandoning you. I'm talking about that place where graciousness, Lord, make me gracious. I always say it. Lord, make me gracious. Where I'm his hands and feet. He that receives you receives me. People receiving the Lord's blessing, they're receiving his smile through my smile. I'm his hands and feet. As much as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. The things that are happening that God wants to do, he's doing through me. But I got to stay in that shadow, Kevin. I got to stay there. I got to line up. I got to say, Lord, I'm not going to take substitute comforts. I'm not going to go the anger way. I'm not going to let life get to me in this way. I'm going to stay with my eye on the pearl of great price because I want to be snuggled up real close to the Lord. I don't want to fall from that place of grace because it's there that I'll hear God. It's there that I'll pick up the gentle breezes. It's there that I'll gently be led by him. And I think that's where we want to be. And that is a dynamic Christian life. And you know, when you go there and that's your pursuit, then the do's and don'ts that everybody's worried about almost seem like nonsense. You know, people say, why don't you, as a Christian, can you do this? Can you do? When you go to this other level where it's a relationship and you see God starting to use you, that other stuff's so cheap, you're like, well, why do we even argue about that? That's ridiculous. You know, and yes, there's boundaries. We all know that. That's part of what's wrong with our society. There aren't any. But it isn't in the walk with God, it isn't about do's and don'ts. And under the pulpit here, I got a list, and boy, you better obey all these rules. It isn't about rules anymore. It's about, man, this is sweet. Being right here under his shadow. Man, if this isn't sweet. Man, if this ain't the place to be, I'm telling you. It works. That's why I can sell it so hard, because it works. When you're walking with God and you're in the secret place, I contest that you will enjoy everything in life more. People say, Christians have a boring life. You come hang out with me. I ain't got no boring life. I'm telling you. I got more challenges you'd never imagine. And my motorcycle's more fun because God's first and I don't get my comfort. That isn't my source of comfort. It's more fun, though, than it used to be. I like it better than I used to be, and I'm grateful for it. It's funny. I like stuff. I appreciate stuff more than I ever have, but I'm less attached. I made the statement one time that if my house was on fire and I was preaching, that I'd finish the message. I got tested on that. I wasn't actually preaching, but God reminded me of that when our house burned. He said, you remember saying that if the house burnt, you wouldn't let it bother you? But can I tell you something? I don't mean this arrogant. I say it as humbly as I know how. It didn't bother me that much. It honestly didn't bother me that much. I'm like you, many of you out here. You found that secret place. You found that secret place. You're lining up with the shadow. You're snuggling up close to the Lord. And he's working in your life, and it's fulfilling. That's what Jesus said, meant when he said, I am come that you might have life, and you have it more abundantly. That's what it is. All right, got to quit. Let's stand for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege of ministering this morning. Thank you for bringing us here to this place. And thank you for the wonderful, encouraging songs. I know it's a holiday weekend, and there's a lot going on, and a number of folks gone. But we thank you for your presence, meeting with us. Anything we've said in the flesh, melt that. I'm not aware of anything, but anything we've said in the flesh, I ask you just cause people to forget it. May it melt out of their minds. But what's been said through the anointing of the Spirit, which I believe is a majority and hopefully all, what's been led there, I would ask that that would be used and it would take root. Watch over us this weekend. Keep us close to you. May we hunger. I guess what I'd like to see in this congregation more than anything else is that I'd like to see a group of people, and I believe it's happening, that have a hunger for a close walk with God. And we, may us older Christians model that well. May we model that well. I look back, I don't remember too many of Pastor Bishop's sermons, but I remember what he was and what I saw in him. I thought, I don't know what he has, but I want that. Help us to remember it's more important what we are than what we do. And make us that person who's in that secret place. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.